Today's episode of TMS brought to you by Squarespace at squarespace.com. Go get a 14-day free trial without a credit card even needed and try it out. If you decide to stay, use the code MORNING at checkout and save 10%. That's MORNING at checkout at squarespace.com. Coming up on TMS, more saucy things.
Emptying out that nest.
Japan has a penis problem.
Oh yeah, it does. Pot brownies in Omaha.
Jenner spends big.
Swimmers are full of crap.
Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
In the beginning, there was only Jordan thinking his lonely thoughts.
We can understand why a lot of rich people are buying the Hyundai Accent GLS.
The Morning Stream. I will feast on your soul.
You know, the chat room makes me want to play this theme every day because of the way they flood the thing with TMSs.
It's like a wall of TMS.
Yeah, it's great. It's something It's something to behold. So maybe we'll do that more often. Hey, everybody, it's me, Scott, and him, Brian, and it is the morning stream for Thursday, the 18th of August. August 2016. We're here. We're doing it. We're very get used to it. Hey, Brian, what's going on, man? What's happening over there?
We are barreling our way through another August, and this is, you know, this is a week from now. I'm going to be doing a show, a live cover, or a live TMS from Vegas. Maybe
right.
Two of them.
That's
if
right.
It works out. I think it'll work out.
I think it should.
And the way I think it'll go is we'll have a TMS AM, and then I'm going to go over to that Shield Station thing over at the Treasure Island.
Yeah.
Which is the whole Marvel walkthrough, Shield get frisked by Kobe Smulders.
Ooh, is this a thing? Really? That sounds awesome.
Well, it might be wishful thinking on my part, but
someone
but
pretending
Kobe
to
Smulders
be
does figure into this via video screen, I believe.
All right, well, that's too bad. Is she flicking cards at you, trying to get you to, you know? Come check out our porno strip club going,
what?
You know, flipping cards.
Gotcha. Okay. It was a Vegas reference. I was like, all right, I don't remember that on How I Met Your Mother. That wasn't anything in Robin Sparkles. I don't think that was a thing for...
Nope, just porn in Vegas.
Just porn in Vegas.
Just porny Vegas. Yeah, I think that's great. I'm looking forward to it.
I do plan on doing more of my favorite Vegas game, which is getting those porn cards and then folding the heads over and then superimposing Mitsula's head. You know, basically holding the card up and taking a picture of the card with the Mitsula's head where the Pern star's hair.
I was not aware that that was a thing that you were.
It's a game I started last time I was there.
Did you? You may have sent me a small.
I sent you one of those shots.
Yeah,
and it's a very bored looking Mitsula.
That's a great mini game. I think you should do that.
Kind of is. Yeah.
All away.
Just gotta when you take the picture, you just gotta kind of cover up the naughty bits.
Yeah.
Well, better than they do,
yeah.
Which is like with little sparkles and lens flares. It's like J.J. Abrams porn cards.
It is some seriously bad Photoshop business on
it
those
really
cards.
Is. But, you know, they say that those are exactly, that's the exact woman that is going to come to your room. It's not going to be, you know, some different looking woman with a big tough dude that's going to stand there and make sure nothing bad goes on. It's totally just going to be that woman.
Oh, I'm sure it is. It isn't. Hey, Flappy Bags McGee, get down to room 304. We got to. It's not happening, is it?
Flappy Bags McGee.
Yeah. I won't tell you why she's called Flappy Bags. Just saying.
No, I don't think it needs to be any more needs to be said about that.
Probably not. Hey, we got an email, a follow up of sorts to the to me squirting the dude with the Del Taco sauce in the restaurant the other day, which apparently tickled many people. They all thought that was very funny.
Sure.
I still feel kind of guilty for not saying anything. But anyway, this person wrote in and says, this is a Patrick, not Patrick from France, of course.
Sure.
Not.
Sure. There are many Patricks.
No, but there's only.
This is mine.
This is ours. Yeah. he says, hey, Scott, just wanted to write and let you know I had a similar experience involving taco sauce. I was at lunch senior year of high school. The lunchroom was clamoring with excitement. It was taco day. Did you have taco day in school, Brian?
No.
I didn't either. Does that feel like, I feel like we got ripped off a little bit. We didn't have taco day.
I think so, but that's, you know, that's all right. We had pull apart Salisbury steak on pull apart bread day.
Holy shit. That's what the day we had. We had the same day. Was it like the Rocky Mountains all getting together and everybody
decides? I guess so. And everybody decides on what's going to be the meal for the Rocky Mountains.
Blah. Now that you say it, I remember
Salisbury
that.
Salisbury steak on pull-apart bread.
I do remember asking friends, are you going to finish that bread? Because that bread was really good.
The bread was really good, and it was all gravied up, mm-hmm. right? Because yeah. you get the gravy on top of the Salisbury steak.
I mean, it wasn't... Sorry, let me back that up. It's not good bread. It's like kind of terrible bread.
Yeah.
But we didn't care, dude.
No.
There was something about it. You could just... You know what it's like? It's like the rolls you get at Texas Roadhouse.
Oh, it totally is.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to go to Texas Roadhouse today. I don't think I'm
You are so easily swayed by
Well, I'm back on my diet and I'm starving right now.
Yeah.
Cuz I got to lose these 20 pounds I put on. I can't go to BlizzCon all fat. I got to get back. I can and do and will.
Can do and will.
All right.
Even with my biking regimen, it's like I'm losing but not losing fast enough that I think I'm going to look any different at BlizzCon.
Well, there's no quick way, dude. It's just,
no. And if you do it a quick way, it bounces right back. You rebound, and it's bad.
It's also not very healthy. It's like the quick ways are always bad because they're not just they're just bad for you. Like take my word for it. I tried that once. It's not good for you. Anyway, this email goes on. Says this.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, it's all good. He says I got in line, or he went through the line to get food there on the taco day. The hall was set up in such a way. The lunch line closely wrapped around by the table that had all the taco toppings. Oh, exposed toppings in a school.
There's another topping for you.
You think I don't like the olive bars at a freaking grocery store? I'll tell you what else I don't like. Anyway, so...
Did you hear what Stacy said over by the locker? Hold on.
Did you hear what Stacy said? Holy shit. What's that? Is that a French fry? Oh, it's not. I'm just going to put it back. Can't deal with it. It says, let's see. I apply various items to my tacos, leaving the salsa for last. After adding it to my tacos, I lightly drop the ladle back into the tray. So it's like a ladle in a pot kind of thing.
Yeah. That was the original, by the way. Lightly drop the ladle was Lucio's original ultimate.
Nice. Lightly drop the ladle. Lightly drop the ladle, he says. And then it changed to drop the beat. I got it.
Right,
Anyway, so he's getting nerfed, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his speed. So his green speed increase burst that he does at the beginning that everyone loves so much was 100% of speed, meaning it basically doubled in speed.
Yeah.
For that short time, it will now only be 75%.
Oh, that's not too bad. Not too bad of a nerf.
It's okay, but man, that I love that. It makes him less of a must pick, I guess, which is what they're trying to do. But
anyway. Sorry.
No, it's all good.
This email is going to take like 20 minutes because I keep interrupting.
It's the longest email of all time, but it's fine.
Lightly drop the ladle.
Yeah, lightly drop the ladle, thus giving his team a short burst shield that protected them. Anyway, a small splash lands on popped collar guy. So he's got a popped collar guy, polo guy standing there. Who luckily was facing the other way. Embarrassed, I walk away silently, hoping nobody noticed the offense. Fast forward to the next day. What's this? Taco day again? I get my food, and I'm all ready to add the toppings. This is great. They had leftover taco day. So
we decided to make it a twofer this week.
Yeah, except it's spelled Tuesday with T-W-O's day. Anyway, to my food, the same polo guy is standing there this time. Prepared for my salsa flinging, he looks at me and says, be careful with that salsa. Yesterday, some idiot splashed me on my shirt. Long story short, sometimes the low road pays off with a silly story. I love the tacos, though, Patrick. All right. Patrick.
Awesome.
Thank you for
the popped collar probably was like a little bit of a blast shield for him. Right?
Oh.
Like protected his neck from the salsaing.
Yeah. I wonder if he learned. I wonder if his teacher suddenly sat down looking all tired and said, it's like 1,000 voices just screamed out from the school.
I can't shoot any salsa with a blast screen down.
Gosh, yeah, silly religions and hokey, whatever. We're doing a bad reading of Star Wars right now. Very bad reading. Yeah. All right, so sad day for me. Very sad day.
Okay, hold on. That almost even seems like a really funny thing we could do is we turn off all the audio on Star Wars.
Yeah.
And you and I, and maybe we get other people in on this, we try to, because we've seen it so much, we try and recreate the exact same dialogue. Like we each pick a character and we do that character's dialogue to the best of our memory.
I'm in. And make
over
what,
top.
And make like a commentary track that people have to watch.
Yeah, 15 minutes. We just do a 15-minute segment of Star Wars and we do this.
We pull out the most important scenes and do it. I'm all right with that.
I think this is great. Okay,
don't you think if we took it out in chunks, we'd be okay like copyright-wise? Because that's just fair use parody stuff, right? Like you see it all the time. Like what's the difference between this and the guy who does the he does the dubbing thing?
What we do is we reverse the screen so we can put on YouTube. Like we invert, horizontally invert.
Oh, so everything's facing the other way.
Everything's facing the other way. Still right side up, but everything's facing the other way, and we're doing the audio.
But the dub, the guy that does all the dubbing, like over Game of Thrones or whatever, he's using all kinds of stuff. I don't think this would be any different than that.
All right, well, we could try it. We could see.
Somebody's doing this. Someone has to be doing this, right?
No, I don't think. I think this is an original idea. I think nobody is saying, let's see how much of the original dialogue of Star Wars I can remember. I'm going to do a YouTube of this.
Okay. We have people doing fake stuff, but you're right. Yes. Probably not doing
it
the other way around.
We're not trying to do it. Not trying to do it legit and be like, oh, I was going to go to Tashi Station and pick up some power converters.
I'm all in on this. We need to do this. This sounds like a really good idea to me.
We figure out a tiny goal to reach on Patreon, just like something that's easily attainable.
Yeah.
$100 bucks more or something.
Something small, and then you guys ride us in, and then we do it.
Easy peasy.
Yeah, lemon all right, squeezy, okay. As the kids say. All right, yeah. So I had to send right, my daughter off to college today, and I'm super sad about it. In fact, is she? Yeah, she was down here a second ago getting some other stuff. So she's off to her new dorm. She's in this rad, state-of-the-art, just-built thing for the engineering and arts department. It's all very exciting. Thanks to Corinne, we got this sweet, like, in there that we wouldn't have had otherwise. And
nice.
Taking
so she's
advantage
gonna be,
of that.
She's going to be taking the video game classes there?
Yep, she's doing that whole thing.
So
plus,
cool.
Plus, she has a job there now, so she's... It's easy to, like, it's 5 minutes to work. She's going to live there. She's going to have really, we hope, really great internet. We're finding that out today. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's supposed to be awesome about it. But there is something specifically difficult about sending Carter off that wasn't there with Taylor. It doesn't mean I love my daughters equally.
Of course.
But there's something about sending Carter off because Carter and I collaborate so much and do, like, work together and, like,
well,
she's
here's
drawing all the time.
I think
like,
that there is
really
something
hard
to that.
Yeah.
Can I lay down on the couch there?
All right. I'm ready.
Make yourself comfortable.
All right. Dr. Ribbit, please.
Let me dim the light a little bit so it's not right in your eyes.
Now, you're not going to touch my doodle, right?
It's not that kind of session.
Oh, okay.
This time.
All right. This time. Because last time you said that too, and then.
I specifically offer the therapy with a happy ending.
Right.
But that's only with the group on.
All right. So I thought HJ was your initials, but then it turned out to be something different. And now
this
I'm
one's
very
without.
Upset.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right. So I think that it's more than you had with Taylor, sending Taylor off to college. And this is hitting you a lot more because your number of children are dwindling that you're sending off to college. For Nick, I mean, I think there is something to the fact that you do a lot of art collaboration with Carter. You guys are really close. You do the drawing stuff together and do the YouTubes and stuff like that. And she's a brilliant, brilliant artist who is obviously, you know, developed her own style, like has gotten enough tutelage from you to know the basics of like how you do expressions and how you do a successful stylization of something.
Yeah, she's got her own thing. She's really
she's got her own
it out
thing.
Way but ahead of when I did by that age, by the way. Way
but I think
ahead.
when it comes time for Nick to go off to college in a couple of years, I think it's going to be like, oh man, this is the last one.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, the first one's like, oh no, Taylor, it's unknown. We don't know. And then this one's more like, oh, but you're the one I can come home and say, did you guys see the new Overwatch trailer? Let's get it. Let's do that. Like, Carter's a huge nerd about that stuff.
Yeah.
So she loves that. And I'm just going to miss, like, the daily thing with her. It's going to be hard. I don't know. I wasn't prepared. But she's, you know, I mean, she's only, what, half-hour train ride away. It's no big deal.
Exactly.
We can go see her anytime we want. She's just up at the university. She's not far. It's not that big a deal. She can come home on weekends when she wants, like all that stuff. It's going to be a great experience for her, and I guess I'm just a little dad sad today.
Meanwhile, my son has all his friends over in the middle of the night and uses every dish in the house and just leaves them piled up in the sink, even though earlier yesterday he emptied the dishwasher.
Ah, excellent.
So what I did is he did this Tuesday night. Tuesday night. So last night, he was working. He was going to come home late again. And his thing is he comes home late from work. He makes something up in the microwave to eat and blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
I took masking tape and I basically made a spider web over the sink so that he could not put anything in the sink. And then I took Sharpie and I wrote on each of the spider webs, put your dishes in the dishwasher. What the heck is the matter with you? Do it now and quietly.
Ah, that's awesome, dude. That's a great way to leave a little message.
I should have taken a picture of it because Tino's laughing.
Oh, yeah. How could you not and like get that on Instagram or something? You got to save that. You got to save that for the ages. You got to at least have it for when he has kids.
Posterity.
You gotta, yeah, your grandkid needs to see it. Look what your dad used to do. Ha, ha, ha.
Exactly. Totally. All right. Anyway.
All right. Well, we're gonna take a different turn here now and talk no more about sad dad or taco sauce. We're now going to talk about what it takes to stump Daryl. And that means you have to participate at home, folks. If you call in right now, you'll get lucky, and you'll be a person that we answer up all night to get lucky.
That's right.
We'll take very first caller that comes in. Waiting for that to come in. The phone number is, let's scroll down, 801-895-4724. Sorry, you could have done that.
I could have done. That's all right. You know, we'll do it next time.
So
call now.
Call now.
People?
Yeah. Call now. Be a part of it.
You're getting a double prize today if you win, because yesterday, what's his face in San Francisco, just outside of San Francisco, did not win.
That's right. So it's a double duty today.
Double duty.
I guess I need to put another thing in there.
Yeah. You mind doing that?
I totally have something. Right, cool. I'll put that in there. All right. We got a caller on the line. Who's this?
This is Matthew from Chicago.
Hello, Matthew from Chicago.
Is this the Matthew, the artist Matthew?
This is.
Oh, sweet.
Plug your strip.
Yeah, plug your comic.
My comic is Bagdrop.
Yeah.
At bagdropcomic.com.
Nice.
About people who work at a golf course.
Oh, sweet.
Love it.
Okay.
It's available in print now also.
Nice, man.
Ooh, very cool. I saw a copy of the book when I was in Chicago, and I like how, you know, he basically just gets his name out and like we immediately say, plug your stuff. We don't even ask him any friendly questions or anything like that. How are you, Matthew? Yeah. Are you doing all right?
You doing all right? You having a good day?
Yeah. So far, so good.
All right. Well, all the way from Shit Taco. Let's do this. I'm going to add one of these here, Brian. This is going to be, let's see. Oh, I love this game. Let me put this one in there. All right, so Brian has got two possible winnings for you today, and he's going to explain the rules to you, and then we're going to go from there. So, Brian, explain.
All right, Matthew in Chicago, here's what's going to happen. In a minute, we're going to launch Daryl into this very podcast in our own special way, and we're going to ask him a trivia question as part of our fiduciary duty to Daryl. But what we want you to do beforehand is to accurately predict whether or not Daryl is going to get that trivia question right. If you are correct in your prediction today, you can win a shot of Malort, a copy of Robocraft, Early Access and Master Bundle, and a copy of Call of Juarez, registered trademark, Gunslinger.
That's right. All on Steam as well. What was the Malort part?
That was a drink that we all took a shot of at the... at the bar at the Hilton, Hyatt Regency, at thing. It was all of us little Frog Panthers, right?
Right.
And Mr. Bearded Fruit himself, Todd Cochran, had a shot of it too.
Todd Cochran took a shot of the thing?
He's like, oh, that tastes like dirt in desperation.
This drink is so gay.
It tasted like it was made with bearded fruit.
Well, excellent. So there's what you could win, Matt. Why don't you tell them what the topic is?
The topic today is garbage.
Garbage. Oh, we're still on Music Week, are
garbage.
We?
Still on Music Week.
Yeah, Garbage,
so
the band.
Garbage.
Yeah.
Garbage was the band I had last time I called it.
Oh, no way, really?
That's true. You're totally right. I now remember that. You're right. That's some funny happenstance. I mean, it's the end of the week, and of course there's a garbage question because freaking Mike's a garbage worshiper. But anyway.
Fortunately, I remember that neither of us know anything about garbage, so I'm going to go with Daryl's going to get it wrong.
Okay.
Correct. Okay, excellent.
I think that is that's a safe bet. I would go that way as well. Also, people quit calling. We've got a caller. I don't know why.
Somebody just has us on like, I'm not listening to the show, but I got a call at 9:20.
Yeah, there must. It's got to be, because if they're listening, they know that we're done. Anyway, all right. So let's get Daryl in. Let's try this out. See how he does against this question. Let's see, Daryl. And this finishes Music Week, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's only three days long this time, but you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. All right. So here comes Daryl. Here comes his theme. Here it is, right here.
Yeehaw! I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
Daryl Skills. What's up?
Oh, I don't know. AGR's not up, that's for sure.
Oh, did I not do that today? I might have not done that today.
Wow, so for once, Daryl has no idea what the prediction is.
Oh, that feels good. That feels good.
I don't even know what happened. Well, I don't know what's happening in the world. I get all my news from here.
Yeah, well, there's some good news this morning. You missed out. It's all about tacos on shirt collars and stuff.
Yeah, we haven't gotten to the news yet, so you still got time.
Yeah, you got time. Oh, okay. You'll be fine. It's Stump Daryl, and it's brought to you by...
Louisiana has been devastated by last week's historic floodwaters that left major damage to East Baton Rouge, Livingston, Ascension, Tenga, Fahoa, St. Helena, and St. Tammany parishes.
Glad you read it.
To donate $10 to the American Red Cross, text LA Floods.
Say it again. Daryl will cut you off.
You can read all that, but you can't read text.
Text. I know. It's only text. Text LA Floods to 90999. That's LA Floods, all one word, all caps, to 90999. Any help is greatly appreciated.
My wife's got family down there, although none of them are directly affected by the flooding, but I don't know if you guys have seen any of like the drone photography or the drone footage.
I've seen the news photography, which is horrible.
It's real bad. Like, real bad. People got water up to their roofs, and that part of Louisiana is susceptible when weather goes nuts, and weather went nuts. So real bad. Anyway,
yeah, fires in L.A. and floods in Louisiana.
The other L.A.
If only we could. Right. No kidding. If only we could inceptionally fold the country over and have the floods put the fires out.
Oh, yeah. Just like that scene where Leo DiCaprio and What's-Her-Beak are having breakfast or whatever, and the whole city goes. Yeah. Oh, so I dropped something.
Oh. That'll teach you.
Yeah, I folded my room over. All right, we got Matthew on the line. He's done this before, Daryl. He's here to do the final testing of you with the music week that we're on. And today's subject is garbage. Remember garbage?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're big. You got all kinds of knowledge with garbage.
I hear they're only happy when it rains.
That's what I've heard. Yeah. That's all. I've also heard she has a hot Scottish accent. Oh, yeah. So here's your question, and then we'll see how you do. It wouldn't be music week without a garbage question, says Mike. You knew it was coming, he also says, with a smiley face. Shirley Manson joined garbage after Steve Marker, after Steve Marker saw he on MTV.
Saw her, yeah.
Come on. Mike, check your shit, man. he saw her in an Angelfish video. Angelfish was a side project for another band. In Angelfish, they put Shirley in the lead vocal spot. What band was Shirley in prior to becoming the lead singer for Angelfish and joining Garbage? It's barely a garbage question, is it?
Right, exactly. And it's funny because the last garbage question, which also had Matthew, I think was what band was Shirley in before Garbage? And the answer was Angelfish.
Yep.
So we're just...
Yeah, we're going back.
Just, yeah, once, right down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, more Mike. Inception. We're going to spin a top, see if it ever stops. So here you go. Your options are A, goodbye... These are all real bands, by the way. A, goodbye Mr. McKenzie. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that took me a while to say. Goodbye, Mr. McKenzie.
Mr. McKenzie Phillips.
I had a teacher, fifth grade, I think.
It was named Mr. McKenzie?
Mr. McKenzie, and I literally said goodbye to him when I moved on to the
sub. Wow. Grade.
Yeah. Goodbye, Mr. McKenzie. Mm. B, The Exploited. C, Troops of Tomorrow. Troops of Tomorrow, today! Or D, Hammer and Tongs. Not thongs.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah.
I used, when I was in high school, I used a hammer and tongs to get my welding dealt with in shop class.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good, good. Man, shop. The memories I have from shop. I had a bad time in there. I'm not good at that stuff. Like Spagnuolo would have thought I was an idiot in there.
Right.
It was terrible.
He killed it in wood shop, right?
Oh, he must have owned that place.
I made a birdhouse, and Mark's over there like, oh, really? I made a house.
I made I made a functioning wood car you can all drive. Runs on sunlight. It's amazing. Anyway, so your options are those. Goodbye, Mr. McKenzie, The Exploited, Troops of Tomorrow, or Hammer and Tongs. How you want to deal with this one? And feel free to tap Matt if you need.
Yeah, I need.
Okay.
I need.
What do you think, Matt?
I have no idea.
I call you Matt because my brother's name is Matt. He's also Matthew, but we all call him Matt. Do people call you Matt or just Matthew?
People call me either one.
Okay.
It doesn't really matter.
All right. I just didn't want to, in case Matt brought back some weird memories, like, I don't want to offend anybody.
Mm.
Like, if I call Brian, Brianne. Maybe not that. Well, he doesn't know.
So help whatsoever.
Yeah, his guess is as good as yours, Daryl.
Okay. I'm going to just pick Hammer.
My uncle used to say, you're up a shit tree, he'd say. My uncle would say.
I am.
Yeah, he'd say, which made no sense to me. I didn't ever understand it. I think it was a thing with, like, my whole dad's side of the family. None of them had good, they couldn't talk in good metaphors. Now, before you start saying, I don't either, calm down.
Oh, the apple doesn't fall too far from the side of the building or whatever it is. I can't remember exactly what that is.
That's exactly it. It's stuff like that. Early to rise gives a man money and sunlight or whatever.
He can never,
never get it right. Anyway, so you're up a shit tree.
Yeah.
Because isn't the real phrase, you're up shit creek without a paddle, right? Have you guys heard that one before?
Up shit creek without a paddle?
Yeah,
sure.
That's a very common one when I was
totally
growing up.
Is.
Yeah, so I think that's what he was...
I haven't heard it, the creek called that, but I've heard, the creek thing.
Yeah, I've heard
it. Yeah, well, there's, you can shorten it to I'm either up shit creek or I'm up the creek without a paddle. But when it's both, it's holy cow. Because the paddle would be like the only thing that would kind of protect you from having to use your hands to like push your canoe.
Oh yeah. Can you imagine moving
without the paddle? You're just like, oh crud. If I really want to get up this river, this creek.
Well, how does a creek form then with that in it?
It's made that.
Well, it's loose stuff. It's like number three.
The mountains are filled with cows or something.
It's like number three, Brian says. Well, I mean, look, like an underground sewer would be like shit creek.
Right, yeah.
And okay.
And also there's a little river near us called the Jordan River that is absolutely this creek. It's
awful. Oh, really?
It's awful. Ooh. I had a friend who
wait a minute. Isn't there like a biblical story about the River Jordan?
Oh, sure. And that's a nice one.
Crossing the River Jordan. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, but you just said it's the Jordan River.
Yeah, that's the name of it. That's what they called it here. So
So there's a River Jordan and a Jordan River?
Yeah. So there's the River Jordan, which is like a big historical biblical thing. And here in Utah, some idiot went, I'm going to name it the Jordan River. And it's this crappy little river, and it's fine, except there was a kid in high school in a canoe, and my buddy Mark, who listens to the show, you may have to clear me up on this, because I don't remember the legend, but supposedly somebody we knew or somebody our age was on a canoe on this river and found the head of some dude in there.
Oh, God.
Yeah, like a severed head man in there.
It happened while he was playing Pokemon Go, because that's how these things seem to happen.
No, that didn't exist in 1985, but...
Man hunting Charmanders finds severed head in Jordan River.
I swear I remember that. Or maybe it was other body parts, or... I swear there was a head, though.
Wow.
I can't remember. Anyway, Jordan River.
Did he get all of his friends to go down the railroad tracks and through the junkyard and try and beat Kiefer Sutherland there?
Yeah. Doon, 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 doon. They got leeches on their right. units. It was great.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway. I always think, whenever you say that, I think of the barf scene in Sandlot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You do? Really? Something triggers you to think of a scene where somebody throws
up
in the movie.
Well, not because of that, but because immediately I think of all the movies that are a bunch of kids having a coming-of-age story, and I always mix Sandlot and Stand By Me together. I don't know why.
I always felt like Sandlot was after the time period in which I was watching... movies. It was 1993. I was done with movies that
it was required here, though, because
was it
was filmed in Murray, like 20 minutes from me.
All right, you know what, it's still streaming on Netflix. I will watch it.
Oh,
I've
you
never
should
seen
watch
the
it
Sandlot.
It's great. It's
Why,
a great
everybody
movie.
Everybody tells me you're killing me, Scott.
Yeah,
you're
killing
me,
Smalls. You need to watch that. It's like I don't know why I
it's
think
like
it's great.
Ghostbusters for Keith and Ann Arbor.
Yeah. Yeah, that dirty millennial. You're a dirty Gen Xer is what you are.
All right, I'm going to watch it this weekend.
All right, so, sorry. What are we doing? Oh, Daryl, here you go. Goodbye, Mr. McKenzie. The Exploited, which you probably feel like right now. Troops of Tomorrow or Hammer and Tongs.
Well, I like Hammer and Tongs.
I don't like the word tong. Tong is annoying, though, right?
Isn't tong?
It? Yeah, I don't like
it. Well, you never have one tongue. It'd be useless. It's like having one pant.
It sounds...
or half of a scissors.
A scissor. Well, no, that still works.
No.
No?
You don't say scissor.
You can't...
Hand me that scissor. No, you say hand me that pair of scissors.
That pair of scissors? But they're never a pair. Or are they?
Yeah, they're always a pair.
But when they're attached.
But if they're connected with a little screw, does that make them a pair? Or aren't they just...
Okay. They're still, maybe a scissor would be useful in prison as a shiv, but...
All right. You know what? I'm learning lots of new things today.
It's funny because it's true. People are pointing out, well, scissor is the action. It's like the verb.
Oh.
And so is pant, but completely.
Yeah, not totally unrelated. Yeah.
Neither, but tong is not.
Yeah, panting. Panting is a very, it has two very different meanings.
Yeah. You might be panting while you're scissoring, but.
Yeah, but don't, nobody.
And you might get pantsed before all that.
Right.
Right. Okay, let's give them the.
English. English is weird. All right. So, Daryl, go ahead. What do you think? Which of these four?
Well, every time I tried to answer, we get pulled to somewhere else. So maybe I shouldn't pick what I was going to
pick. I don't know.
Maybe this is a hint.
I just like that Matthew, every time he's on, is a very professional guest. He just sort of is here like, okay.
He's doing something else. He's like
you clowns
filling
are...
out a form at the DMV or something.
I wouldn't blame him. I wouldn't blame him. All right.
Still there? Still there, Matthew?
You're there, Matthew, right?
Yep. All right. Still here.
All right. Still
not at the DMV.
All right. Shit taco on the line still, everybody. Not you, the city you're in. Daryl, go ahead. Do your thing.
Okay.
Do your magic.
Kenzie is a Canadian thing. Oh, because it's the brothers.
Yeah.
Exploited.
Bob and Doug McKenzie. I get it. Yep.
Good day. Yeah.
Yep.
Troops, they go and fight.
Yep.
Hammer and tongs, you make something to fight with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And...
Or you're eating your egg roll wrong. That's
possible. I'm just gonna say hammer and tongs.
You're gonna say hammer and tongs because you like it. Okay, all right, it's fine. Yeah. Totally fine. All right, well, let's see if you're right about that. Is he right? You are incorrect.
No.
But that's good because Matthew said you'd get it wrong.
Oh, good.
He remembers. Matthew from Chicago remembers. Brian knew exactly where I was going. You are the winner, Matthew, of both RoboCraft Early Access Game, which is out right now, and part of the Master Bundle. Also, Call of Juarez Gunslinger, which is on Steam. You get both of those for free.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Are you in the chat room so that you can have this exchange, or would you prefer an email?
Yeah, I'm in the chat room.
Sweet. Cool.
Send me a message, and I'll just copy and paste this business right into a reply.
Congratulations, Matthew. He is I like his quiet way. He's just kind of quiet.
I do. He's silent but strong. Strong, yeah. Silent.
Type. Silent but deadly. Wait, what?
I wasn't going there.
That's a fart. Daryl, what's up with you? Oh, I know. We're going to do the deal here. We're going
to say. What was the right answer to that?
Oh,
question?
Sorry. I should say. The answer is Goodbye, Mr. McKenzie. She was a background singer in this band. They eventually made a single called Angel Fish. Oh, a single band called Angel Fish. Sorry. Steve.
Side band, yeah.
Yeah. Steve Marker saw a music video of their video for a song called Suffocate Me. Seems like a little creepy. Anyway, this led to telling Butch Vig that they should get her into Garbage.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Butch
great.
Vig, the guy who.
Who's Butch Vig?
He's the guy who started Garbage, but he's also the guy that produced Nirvana's landmark album, Nevermind.
Is that the one with the kid wiener?
Uh-huh.
All right.
And, yeah, and he's also got the same birthday as me yep. and Butch Vig.
Yeah, that kid wiener kid is like 22 now, 23.
Right, and he can't go out in public.
Nope, not with his wiener out.
No, people, well.
People compare
who can?
It. Yeah, who can really?
Right.
In public.
We're going to find out actually in the news. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll see who can. Daryl, you're the Trek Nerd on Twitter and at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. Oh, I got a box from you, but I don't know what's in it.
Oh, prizes are in it.
Oh, I haven't opened it yet. I need to open it. All right, I'll do that tomorrow or before Monday. Also, This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. Why don't you play a game with us called Googleus Maximus? See, got it right the first
Yay!
Time.
I know, I Googled it.
And that's where you do a thing. Explain.
Okay, you can. I am going to read part of a query that I've entered into Google. You complete the phrase and win nothing.
All right.
And here we go. Right. Now, this is a stupid one, but that's all I have, so I'll have to think up more.
All right.
Can you... blank.
Can you blank?
Mm. Can you keep your eyes open when you sneeze?
Oh, that's not bad. Wasn't that proved yes on MythBusters? Doesn't matter, but
was it really?
Yeah, I think they proved it.
I've tested it. It doesn't work for me.
I can't do it for sure.
Here's what I know.
Yeah.
Goat make you sneeze.
Goat make you sneeze.
Hey, sneezy, need a tissue? Please don't call me that.
Jeez, sneeze shaming.
Jeez. all right, I'm going to say... I just had to search
How
for
many
sneeze.
Times has this happened to you when you sneeze?
So wait, what was the first part of the thing?
Can you...
Oh,
blank.
Can you... Can you... Oh my gosh. Can you hear me? That's all I'll say.
Oh, yeah, it could be just something as simple as that. Sure.
Yeah, or some song or who knows. All right, so that's what we say. How'd we do?
I just looked it up to make sure that it was current. It's not even on the list.
Oh.
I'm not going to say that one.
I'm looking it up. Here's what I get. It says, can you run it? Can you hear me now? So I was close. Uh-huh. Or can you feel the love tonight? Can you feel the love tonight?
Can you freeze cheese, I get, is my second choice.
I think Google has its own ideas.
And this is with private browsing enabled. So this is like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you run it? Can you freeze cheese? Can you hear me now? Can you feel the love tonight?
Can you freeze cheese?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
I wouldn't do it with.
Do I want to?
You don't want to do it with sliced cheese, but yeah, like a block of cheese. Totally.
All right. Daryl,
but not for more than 6 months.
All right, he's out.
All right.
No more Daryl.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brought to you by.
Brought to you by sending your kids out into the world.
I don't want to get.
Here's a sandwich. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Here. Make sure you drink plenty of fluids. Yeah, that's fine. It's fine, everybody. It's fine. Mm-hmm. You know what? The other thing that makes it hard. So Carter is known to relatives and other people as being, she's not gonna just run up and hug you. She's not a hug
right.
person.
Right. Yeah. She's a little bit more introverted.
Yeah. She'll reserve that for. If she doesn't know you very well or trust you yet, she's not going to hug you. It's just her thing. It's always been true since she was a baby. It's just never been any different. Mm-hmm. She hugs me all the time. And so she's always hugging me and she's always like putting her arm around me or coming home and sitting by me and putting her head on my shoulder. Like there's always like real sweet dad-daughter affection time with Carter.
Sure, sure.
So that's making this harder. You know? Like it's harder when you're this close to somebody.
Yeah.
I was close to Taylor in that way too, but I forgot. And now it's the next one. And then I'll forget that Nick's also like that, and then it'll be him. I'm old, Brian.
You're getting old, and this is the sign that you're seeing it visibly as you send each child away.
All right. Well, here, how about this one? Japanese pole vaulter in the Olympics. His dreams were crushed by his own penis.
Oh.
This poor guy.
That must be a really large penis.
Yeah.
Mega Man.
Mega Man. Mega Man. Japanese pole vaulter Hiroki Ogita. Ogita. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Will be ruining the size of his phallus after it caused him to foul during the qualifying rounds of the men's event in Rio. He was attempting to clear a height of 5.3 meters in Group A of the first round of the pole vault, and his leg came in contact with the bar. As he began to drop back down towards the ground, his shin grazed the bar, causing it to wobble dangerously. But it was his penis that delivered the final blow.
This article at news.com is great.
Right, I'm talking about, I mean, we're having to give play-by-play to something that takes a fraction of a second.
Yeah, his wiener bumped the bar and knocked it off.
Wobbled 3 times.
Yeah, it's really intense. Anyway, it says, already unsteady, the bar was dislodged from its holdings when Oligolo's old fellow, that's a phrase, decided to make an appearance and slap the metal. The vaulter's arm then collected the bar as it began to fall. This is a strange article.
Yeah.
Video footage shows the crushing moment the 28-year-old was let down by his trouser friend. Unfortunately, the foul...
Who wrote this article? Mr. Skin?
Despite clearing the height of his... On a second attempt, the Japanese athlete was only able to make a height of 5.45 meters with his last jump, which left him in 21st place, ending his campaign in Rio. In Reno. What a way to end your Olympic dream. Thwarted by the one thing no man ever wants to let down. Jeez. If the death of Julius Caesar is the ultimate story of betrayal, this is a close second. All right, news.com, enough.
Wow. Lavish on the mock disappointment. Oh.
All right, let's talk
about... Just the one thing that you expect to be your friend until the day you die, and he sabotages is your chances to get a gold medal.
Brr. I'm going to give you an article here from the Omaha.com website, so the actual website owned by the
I'm sure they're much better writers at omaha.com.
Yeah, the city of Omaha in Nebraska wrote this, and I'll give you the headline. I'm not going to tell you the details because it doesn't need them.
Sure. Okay, the World Herald, the OWH.
Yep.
I worked with a guy there, named Brian Hamburger.
No way.
Yes.
Last name was Hamburger?
Last name was Hamburger, Brian Hamburger.
Why?
And he looked like Paul Reiser, but the dude always wore suits, like always super sharp dressed.
So did he die in a closet from a xenomorph or no? That didn't happen at all?
No, amazingly enough, he did not.
Okay, but that's a bad last name and I have 50 bucks and he can just go change it. Anyway, an Omaha man, or here's the headline. Omaha dad finds pot brownies, eats four of them, says mean things to cat. Next story. Kylie Jenner, you know her? She's one of the Jenner people.
That's it? Wait. That's all we're getting?
That's all we're getting.
Just says mean things to cat.
That's
Bye. It. We're done. Next story.
That's all it is. He just yelled at a cat, and he's in trouble now for yelling at a cat.
Okay. Well.
Kylie Jenner, one of the Jenner people, connected with them Kardashian folks, I guess. I don't know. I don't watch any of that. I have no idea what's going on with the Jenners. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
She bought $4.5 million Hidden Hills home next to her current mansion. She's only 19. My daughter's age.
Yeah.
And bought a $4.5 million mansion next to the mansion she already has.
Yeah, well, you know, when I get tired of my mansion, I like to go next door to my mansion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you're just sick of the mansion, go to the other mansion.
Jeez.
The mansion sits on 3.9 acres, is roughly 5,000 square feet, and offers 4 bedrooms and 4 bathrooms. So it's a nice small affair for the Jenners.
More dollars than cents.
And then finally,
My grandpa used to say, she's got more dollars than cents.
My grandpa used to say, you pinch that nickel till the Indian rides the buffalo, he'd say. But he said that back when nickels had buffaloes on them.
Right, on one Indians. Side, Indians on the other, yeah.
Native Americans, excuse
clever.
Me.
It's a very clever phrase.
Yeah, he's pinched that so hard. I always take him serious, well, how long will it take until he's right? I wanted him to write it.
Right.
I thought that sounded cool. So those American swimmers that said they were robbed at gunpoint in Brazil.
Yeah, including Ryan Lochte, mm-hmm. You know, partier that had his own reality show on E! For a little while.
Uh-huh. Guess what this does for me? This whole story and the way it's panned out has confirmed for me that what I believed in high school is still true. Swimmers are dicks. They were dicks in high school and they're dicks now. Why y'all gotta be such dicks? Why y'all gotta be such dicks? Think about it. Yeah. If you know any divers or swimmers from your time, I'm not saying they all are. There's a few of them. Like that Lou Gaines fellow, he seemed like a fine young man.
Sure.
Bonked his head on the thing, made it anyway. Like there you go, Lou Gaines. But the rest of them, bunch of dicks.
Whiskey Mustache in the chat room was a swimmer, and I bet you were one of the nice ones.
Yeah.
You're the exception that proves the rule.
Yeah, you're
whatever that.
Wait, no, that's not it.
that is a phrase.
Yeah, but you're not but that would make him.
No, he's like the exception to the swimmers are dicks rule.
Right.
Because he's such a nice guy, it proves that all the other guys are dicks.
Oh, I see it. Okay, yeah. No, that does work. You're right.
Yeah.
So I'm not besmirching the sport. I think it's a fine sport. I think everything about it is great, but for whatever reason when I was growing up, it attracted the worst kids. And I saw it all the way up through some college friends and some people I still know that were swimmers who are still super dicks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. Swimmers are dicks.
Yeah.
Two American swimmers were pulled off the flight to the United States by Brazilian authorities. How much is a Brazilian? Olympic officials said Wednesday night, and the latest indication that the police are skeptical of the swimmers' claim that they were held up at gunpoint in the Rio Games. So this is Jack Conger.
Oh, I've got an update to this, Scott.
Oh, do you have news? What's
I
the
have
new news?
News?
Okay.
I'll just read this. This comes from Pix11. I don't know where Pix11 is, but so Brazilian police officials telling the Associated Press that American swimmer Ryan Lochte fabricated a story about being robbed at gunpoint in Rio de Janeiro. Mm. He said that around 6 a.m. on Sunday, Lochte, along with fellow swimmers Jack Conger, Gunnar Bentz, and Jimmy Feagan, stopped at a gas station in Barra de Tiqua, a suburb of Rio where many Olympic venues are located. One of the swimmers tried to open the door of an outside bathroom. It was locked. A few of the swimmers then pushed on the door and broke it. A security guard appeared and confronted them, said the official. They say he was armed with a pistol, but he never took it out or pointed at the swimmers. According to the official, the gas station manager then arrived. Using a customer to translate, the manager asked the swimmers to pay for the broken door.
Yeah.
After a discussion, they paid him an unknown amount of money and then left.
Ugh.
So it's like... Oh, well, we just paid money because we broke a door. Oh, that's going to be scandalous. I know. Let's come up with an elaborate story about us getting pulled over by fake police.
Yeah.
Getting held up at gunpoint with a gun right at my forehead, says Ryan Lochte. And then...
And they're in Rio. Everyone will believe us because they always talk about the crime down here. Right. So let's just go ahead and throw this whole country under the bus in a large, scandalous way.
Exactly. And totally, you know, putting such a dark cloud over the Olympics, which had so many great stories. The women's gymnastic team did awesome. The volleyball team made a heck of a comeback. Didn't get gold, but they got bronze after a really good game last night. It's just such a bummer to like have this.
But look at him. Even this picture of him. Here, I'll put it. I got a screen grab.
Douchey
McDouchey dick. They just look like it. It's bringing back old childhood problems and memories for me. Wow. That's the problem. Yeah, I didn't like swimmers. Swimmers were the worst bullies.
And neither of those guys is Ryan Lochte, who kind of is the douchiest looking of the quartet.
Yeah, those are some dude bros. Here's the thing, though. The football kids... Totally not a problem in my high school. Sure, love those guys. Hung out with them. Baseball kids, no problem. Basketball kids, great. All those guys, great. Track and field, great. Swimmers, man. Something was up. Something was up with the swimmers. It was in the water.
Because they didn't have to operate as a team like a football team did, or the track team kind of has to operate more as a team. And
maybe, but I also think it's because they're always on display because they're wearing tiny little Speedos and shaving their legs and their pits and looking like... You know, Mr. Slick Fish Man. And then there's always girls around because girls are swimming too. And I think they're all just horny and it just makes them dicks. what a bunch of dicks.
Yeah.
I've said dicks more in this episode than I've ever said in my life. I apologize to people who have kids and they're hearing me say this caustic word over and over.
D-Jokes and Brian.
D-Jokes and Brian. Too. There you go. We're going to take a break. Speaking of D-Jokes. Okay. Time for a quick sponsor break. We'll be back in a second. Y'all stay tuned. Well, hello, and hey, what's up? What's going on? You making a website? Oh, I heard you're trying to make a website. Is that true? Well, if the rumors are to be believed, then you need to head over to squarespace.com and build a website. With all the tools and templates you need to look great on mobile, desktop, and more. Why Squarespace? Because they make it super, super easy. They'll give you a free domain. You get 14-day trial without a credit card required. You build some rad website. And all your friends go, ooh, didn't know you had it in you. Well, neither did you until now. Go to squarespace.com, use the code MORNING at checkout and save an additional 10%. That's 10% off with the code MORNING at squarespace.com. Squarespace. Build it beautiful.
So you met someone to set you back on your heels. Goody, goody. So you met someone and now you know how it feels.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, Wendy will be here. We got some therapy to get to, but before all that, Indy in the middle.
That's right. And we talked about, being up the creek without a paddle.
Mm-hmm.
And Royal Canoe probably can speak to that. Because they're a Royal Canoe.
That's pretty good.
They put out their sophomore album, about 3 years ago, called Today We're Believers. They played 200 shows between then, and they traveled with Alt-J and Bombay Bicycle Club. They played Bonnaroo, Iceland Airwaves, and Oceaga. And now, in the middle of September, about a month from now, they're going to be releasing their next album, which is called Something Got Lost Between Here and the Orbit on Novato Music Label. Really, really cool kind of, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to keep bringing up the Vampire Weekend kind of feel, but these guys do kind of have that, you know, that Vampire Weekend feel. They were nominated for Alternative Album of the Year at the Junos. They won Best Independent Album at the Western Canadian Music Awards. So they are Canadian, whatever.
Okay.
We won't hold that against them this time.
Sorry.
From their upcoming album, Something Got Lost Between Here and the Orbit, which comes out next month on NovadoMusic.com. Go check it out. Here's Royal Canoe and Out of the Beehive.
Everything holds its place for us. Our eyes adjust. A long morning wait. Let's let it go. Slower, slower, talk with me before accustomed to the sight of you upon the bashful bed. Let's share from a cup, the covering up. Come with me. Out of the beehive fingertips, tongue tied. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What's on your inside? Out of the beehive fingertips, tongue tied. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What's on your inside? Thinking, but how could I ever catch your mind? Dreaming about what you daydreaming, hoping it finds a way to pass your eyes. Don't close your eyes. Don't watch the day washing over you. It's falling through the windows, glowing in the lines on the floor. Switch to the door. Just long enough for our lungs to trust these hesitating breaths. The room will grow still. We'll be who we were. Stay with me. Thinking about what you're thinking, but how could I ever, ever catch your mind? Your eyes. Thinking about what you're thinking, but how could I ever, ever catch your mind? Dreaming about what you're daydreaming, hoping it finds a way past your eyes. Don't close your eyes, don't.
Reminds us that we have authority over the devil and all his power in the mighty name of Jesus.
Okay, I've done the underarms, bikini area, and legs. Let's do the face.
This is the Morning Stream.
Oh, crappy crap. Oh, I just spilled my coffee on my keyboard.
All right, we're back. We're back, everybody. Very vampire weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Vampire.
Yeah, they're great.
I liked it.
Really cool.
Yeah, it was really good. Okay, so what's going on? We're back. We got it's windy time. How do you feel about that? You like that idea?
I'm totally fine with that. I feel like it's plunging the great unknown because I don't have in front of me an email that I can kind of read and know what's coming up and be prepared for it.
Yeah, I don't actually know her her topic either. Also, she's showing us offline, but that I just texted her. Hold on. Let's see. You know what? Good moment of the show to save.
Oh, yeah. Always good to save. Always good to save. Save something.
Never not save.
Save a tree.
Save a tree. Save. What's the song go? Save a something for me.
Ride a cowboy. Save a horse.
Save a horse. Save a prayer for me. No.
Save a prayer. Yes.
Is that a song? Is that the thing?
Well, the song is Save a Prayer. Yeah, by Duran Duran.
Duran Duran. That's right, because I was just listening to their greatest hits, and
Say save a prayer in the song. They say don't say a prayer for me now, save it till the morning after.
Oh, save it till the morning after.
Paraphrase. Yeah, save a prayer.
Okay. And then, that, by the way, their greatest hits album is very good.
Oh, it's always good.
Yeah.
Duran Duran's awesome.
I listened to that the other day. I think Rio's my least favorite song.
Just because probably overplay.
Maybe. And
I
also,
think it's really a good song.
I just don't
song,
like the beer, but the beer, beer. I don't like that part.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. I like the, her name was Rio, and she, that part's cool.
Yeah.
But the, right. but the like starting part is just, I don't know, there's some kind of bad 80s thing going on with it that bugs me a little bit. I also like Hungry Like a Wolf. I like the more modern one that I can't think of right now.
Ordinary World?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot.
You gotta listen to their album. Oh, the song is Mediterranean, mm-hmm. and I feel like it is the best song that Duran Duran has done since their second album.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. It's new-ish? Let me find
it. It is from the album All You Need Is Now. And here you go. I'm going to put it, I'm actually going to put it into today's folder because you just got to listen to it. It is, it is the best Duran Duran song since that album, since the Rio album.
I desire it.
Yeah.
I will have to check it out.
It feels like it came right from that album. It feels like it's, Chauffeur, we're going to end with that song. Oh, no, we'll put one more song on the end. It's going to be called Mediterranean.
What's the year of this song or of this compilation? Oh, there's Wendy. I hear
All
Wendy
You Need Is Now.
Oh, yeah. How old is that? Is that new?
Yeah, it's like 4 years old, 5 years old.
Jeez. All right. I have not heard anything that modern. I'll have to check it out. Wendy, hi.
Hi.
What's going
Hello.
On?
Hello.
Guess what I did today?
What?
I sent your niece off to college.
Aww.
She went up to her dorm today. Well, they're up there right now, and they're getting settled in their hot new arts and engineering department thing that they built up at the U, and she's settling in, and she's super nervous and a little weepy about it last night. And I'm sad, but everything's good. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, you're sure?
Yeah.
You're sure you're fine?
I think so. it all feels, you know what's funny? It all feels very heartbreaky, but healthy in a weird way. Like kind of a, how do I explain this? You know how sometimes there's a, you'd know this probably given your profession, but sometimes there's a certain brand of sadness that feels good to have. Does that make sense at all? Mm-hmm.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Like it's melancholy, but no regrets kind of a feeling.
A little sadness every once in a while is good for us.
Yeah.
It is.
But it's not like regret sadness. It's like this is a necessary point, a junction that we knew we were coming to and that it is good and healthy and right, but it still just makes you a little sad. Like I can't even talk to Kim without Kim tearing up. Like I'm like, is everything going to be okay today? You guys everything you need? Yep. How's she doing? She's a little nervous, and then the tears start coming. So anyway, you don't have to deal with that yet, but you will one day. It'll be you, and it won't be me.
See, I just think that's never happening.
That's what I used to think, but here it is.
No, that's what I used to think.
Yeah, back in the day.
Old man.
Petrid Farm remembers. All right, so Wendy, we didn't have you last week, so it's really good to have you back. And today's weird. We're going to do something a little different. You sent me like a chart that I am now going to show the chat room. Mm-hmm. There you go, chat room. So people who are watching the video live are going to see this, but obviously a huge proportion of our listeners or a huge portion listen to the show later and don't have any visuals. So we should describe this. Do you want to describe it? Do you want me to? Like, how do you want to do this?
Yeah, I'll describe it. Then we'll read the email.
All right.
And then I'll tell you what it's all about. All right. Everyone picture, if you will, a backwards facing Pac-Man.
Okay. Oh my gosh, Brian, you were right.
Wait. Pac-Man can face both ways.
Yeah.
How can he be backward facing?
For those who are right-handed, it's Pac-Man facing backwards. For those who are left-handed, it's how it should be.
Oh. Okay. I see. Are you a left-handed person? Well, are you lefty? What?
No, I'm a righty.
Okay.
But I'm married to a lefty.
That's right.
And my son's a lefty, and it's a pain.
Yeah. It is a pain. Yeah, Brian's a lefty.
Trying to find a mitt for a kid that's cheap? Come on.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oven mitts are a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
See, those seem ambidextrous, but probably not.
They seem so, unless you've got one that is those rubberized silicone ones.
Because
the thumb does come out forward, and so it's...
Plus, the silicone's on the one side only, right? Isn't it?
Yeah,
one...
the little grippy parts
burn
are on
your
the
hand.
Side.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's why we need the leftorium. Anyway, so picture a Pac-Man turning left is what you're saying.
Pac-Man turning left, and instead of a... pie-shaped chunk for a mouth. Imagine it's a rectangle, and it's not closed. It's just like an insert here,
Kind of like the, hey, I know who, actually people will know this. If you remember the old terrible port of Pac-Man to the Atari 2600, that's how the Pac-Man looked. He was kind of square-faced mouth. It was awful. So
yeah. So right. It's like that, but more rectangular.
Yeah.
And then next to that, so in it, it's written some words, which we'll talk about. Okay. And then next to it are three different rectangles that would fit really nicely into that space.
Okay.
And then below that are three triangles that do not fit in at all.
Right.
So read the email, then we'll get to why in the world I'm having a visual.
Did you send me the email? Did I get that from you?
Yes.
Oh.
I can read it.
No, I can totally get it. Here it is. I found it. I can do this.
Okay.
I didn't realize that I had it in my email. All right, here it is. Hi, Wendy, Scott, and Brian. Is this the boost confidence one? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay. What do you suggest for someone who is trying to boost their confidence? I've been plagued for years with an almost crippling case of second-guessing myself. I can trace this feeling all the way back to my first job where I had a supervisor who was ex-military and got on my case a lot. In more recent years, I've had a few jobs where I realized I was either in over my head soon after starting that job or feeling paranoid that I was in some way either being conspired against or being prepped to let go. Going through underemployment or unemployment twice hasn't helped my self-confidence either. In this case of is it a case of old tapes like you mentioned before, or is there something else I need to do to change this? I've been racking my brain and looking around for solutions. Thought you might be able to point me in the right direction. Thank you so much for your help. Thanks, T. Well, Terpster.
Wow, it's amazing.
So
he wrote that whole email without using the word brilliant once.
So this is interesting because I totally get what his problem is, but the chart, you're gonna have to explain how the chart answers that.
I will, but let me tell you, he added some background information. That's awesome.
All right,
he's the youngest of three. Mm-hmm. There's 12 years difference between he and his next oldest sibling. He's mostly extroverted. He's single, no kids, never married. Mm-hmm. He's done some confidence boosting activities. He's done two bodybuilding shows and has studied martial arts and has a first degree black belt.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting,
You think the extrovert would not be congruous with the self-doubt?
Yeah, I would think
that. See, now that, my friend, is where all you introverts think you know.
Is it just going to end up proving that everyone's actually an introvert and they just don't know it or admit it or something like that?
No, because then introvert does not equal self-doubt. In fact, I think it's probably the opposite. See, that's an extrovert talking. Mm. We think the other team has like it going on, right?
Yeah.
So extroverts seem confident to an introvert because for an introvert to do what they do, what an extrovert does would take all their courage and energy. And it seems like, wow, they must just feel confident. But there's this secret all extroverts know is half the time extroverts are just compensating for something they feel insecure about.
Ah, see, now that's interesting because people always say to me, oh, Scott, when I you're so energetic when you meet people and when you're out at Nerdtacular, you're just so blah, blah, blah. And they don't understand. I try to explain this, but inside I'm kind of a sad little baby sometimes. Mm-hmm. Aww, not always, but that,
baby.
But that's my point is like, I don't know that it's compensating. Maybe it is, but it's, I appear to be, Mr. Outgoing, but sometimes I'm just not that guy internally, or at least I don't feel that way. And what you're describing to me is ringing a bell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and this guy, I mean, you, it's interesting. So he has a couple setbacks with a job. He's always sort of struggling with confidence. He's been unemployed twice, which is tricky, right? That really can take a toll.
Sure.
And so he's always just like, how can I not feel like this? How can I feel more confident? Oh, so he gets a freaking black belt? Like, so he could kill me if he wanted, right? Mm-hmm. Like you think, oh, it's problem solved. Because if you could kill anybody with your bare hands, you should
just. Why would you have any self-doubt? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. And here's the thing, people. We're not going to talk about politics, but there's a few people who have no self-doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do we really want them running the country?
No, the answer is no.
We really want them with their fingers on the button.
No.
Because think about that. No self-doubt means you're maybe missing some switches that are really valuable. So first of all,
ability to listen to anybody else's, like somebody saying, hey, you maybe shouldn't push that button with the nuclear launch.
Mm-hmm.
No, I know exactly what I'm doing. Yep. I push great buttons.
Yeah, push great buttons. It's going to be button. This button's going to be huge. We're not saying it's anyone in particular, though. We're just
right. Yeah. No. But yeah. Here's the problem with you can see the obvious problem there, and there are definitely people who are sort of missing some of that wiring. So first, I just want to normalize self-doubt is normal. Everyone has it, unless they're a little bit scary.
Yeah.
Now, does that mean they don't look like it? Yeah, sure. People are faking this all the time. That's every extrovert who is not a sociopath is faking that they feel confident all the time. Mm-hmm. There's times you may feel more confident than others. Yeah, whatever. Okay.
Right.
So normal, normal, normal. But he's describing sort of a chronic struggle with something enough to write in kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And maybe it's still in the range of normal, but I'm going to treat it like it's a little more than, you know, it's getting in the way of him sort of living his life, right? Yeah. He doesn't say that, but we're going to just say that's right. It.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to talk about a really specific kind of therapy that I haven't done this in a while, and I have just thought it'd be fun to get a little nerdy therapy-wise on you.
All right.
So there is a therapy called schema therapy, and it's created by a guy named Jeff Young. And it's a cognitive behavioral-based therapy that gets pretty specific, and it uses this concept of schemas. And that means like what you think it means. It's sort of like a whole set of thoughts, beliefs, feelings, way of moving through the world. That's like your schema, right?
Oh, okay, sure.
So this backwards Pac-Man represents the schema. Okay.
Okay.
So there's a lot of them. So, you know, for those who love the internet that are listening right now, you can Google this. And there are, let's see, 5 domains, different kind of.
If you hate the internet, you cannot Google this.
No, you're going to have to ask some old professor.
Could you Google this for me?
Yeah, please look this up for us. Thank you very much.
Okay, yeah. So domains, there's 5 domains, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're all kind of a little bit different. Within those domains, there's 18 different types of schema. He was an overachiever.
Okay.
And he sort of come up with these different ways people sort of take their experiences. And the triangles and the rectangles are people's some interaction point with the outside world. Okay. An event that happens, something that occurs literally or maybe even in your head. But these are events occurring that then interact with you and your, you know, particular schema.
Okay.
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 So let me give you just some examples of what these schemas are. We could talk about that. We'll talk about this guy specifically, T's example or schemas that he's running from. But so here's a couple examples. Here's domain one. I'll just throw out a few. The abandonment schema. So I can't be alone. Anyone leaves me, I lose my crap. I can't handle it.
Does that go into the rectangles or the triangles?
Those would go in the Pac-Man. This is that's the general. Now, as I'm going to say these, everyone listening will be like, oh my gosh, that's my mother. Or oh my gosh, that's my wife or my friend or my former blah, blah, blah. Because you will recognize these because they're really pretty common. Mm-hmm. And what happens is we all interact with the world throughout our growing up and as well as adults. And whenever these triangles or rectangles come along, we fit them into our sense of the world and it starts to build a story, right? Mm-hmm. That's ultimately what the schema is.
Okay.
And you can have healthy schemas and we'll talk about how to get there. But currently we're going to focus on the negative ones because most people, they don't go to therapy to talk about how great their life is.
Right.
Just saying.
Right.
I would love that. That'd be funny. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. Can you imagine that? That would be life? That would Text be a me. Yeah, that'd be a hoot.
That'd be great. Okay, so I can't be alone. I'm going to use it in terms of like a thought. Like I can't be alone. And I may use the technical term, which is abandonment. So an abandonment schema. Mm-hmm. I can't trust anyone. Okay. Kind of paranoid a little bit. People are not trustworthy is that schema. Mm-hmm. There's the emotional deprivation schema where an example of that would be you were abused as a child and you sort of learn very quickly that being loud or sharing your thought, feeling or emotion would be punishment for yourself or someone else. Mm-hmm. And so you shove that all down. And later in life, if someone treats you right and treats you well or respectful, it doesn't feel right. if it feels really off, mm-hmm. which sounds crazy to the rest of us. We're like, why would you pick the guy who's awful to you instead of the one who's nice? Mm-hmm. And it's partly because this schema has been developed in those feelings of what feels right and what doesn't feel right based on their experience. Okay. Defectiveness is a schema in this domain. That's broken. I'm broken. I'm flawed.
Feeling like you can't, you know, measure up in some way.
Mm-hmm. Something is actually wrong with me. Everyone else is walking around like they're all fine, but I have some defect that, you know, is very shame-based identity. Like I'm bad or that type of thing. So the defectiveness schema. Social isolation is one. Mm-hmm. This one I think is a really interesting one because you hear these phrases a lot, and it's kind of this idea. People who say like, "Oh, I'm an old soul. Mm-hmm. Like I don't fit into society now. It's me and my parenting. I should be a parent in the 1970s. It's like that. Yeah. But it's things like I don't fit in, or I've never felt like I fit in. I was the black sheep in my family. Sort of that kind of thing. Like I don't belong to this world.
Right.
That feeling.
You're the oddball. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'll go faster here. Domain two is dependence. That's when you feel vulnerable. Mm. So in that, Pac-Man would be, I'm vulnerable to, and it could be a number of things. The most common are relationships. I'm never safe or okay in relationships. I can't trust other people. Financial vulnerability. I can never have enough money in the bank. I can never be safe that way. Medically vulnerable. Mm-hmm. That's where you get your paranoid about medical stuff. Mm-hmm. My gosh, that is my neighbor kid. Can you hear that song?
No.
Oh, the music?
Just listen for a second.
Oh, now I can hear it, yeah.
That's him singing? Seriously. What, his garage band or something?
He is using some stupid hoverboard that has one song on it. What? Why?
They have a hoverboard that plays music?
Yeah. Do they? Is that not normal? Because it's the only one I've ever seen, and this thing is 100% of the time playing that song.
Anyway. Oh, my God. Is it playing some Swedish song? I'm on a hoverboard!
It's seriously so annoying. First, I'm like, who just turned on the radio? Oh, it turns out it was my neighbor. Yeah. I'm going to get into what schema I have about that kid. Okay, back to what I'm saying. Medical vulnerability, general, unsafe across the board. No matter what, I'm unsafe. I'm safe to go outside. I'm unsafe to be with people and, you know, everything's. So anxiety disorders often have this thinking. Yeah. Enmeshment is another one where you're like.
Enmeshment?
N-E-N. Oh, okay. Enmeshment, right. Where you're just too caught up in. Someone else or everyone else.
I could see that. Okay. That makes sense.
There's a failure one. I'm a failure. Everything I do sucks. Everything I touch breaks, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Perfectionistics, another one in that same domain of it's got to be perfect or I'm a loser, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Domain three is entitlement, insufficient self-control. There's lots of fun stuff there. You can have more than one, by the way, which makes this fun. Mm. Domain four, subjugation, self-sacrifice. An example would be like, I don't deserve the reward I'm getting. Mm. Or I actually deserve to be punished. That can be a strong one for people too. Like cutting, there's lots of challenges in for that with people who have some of those behaviors that they actually feel like they deserve to be harmed or... And not even I deserve good things or I don't deserve good things. I deserve bad things.
Right.
And awesomely, never mind. I'm not gonna say that. Okay. Another one, approval seeking. Approval seeking is a pretty common one. Like I would say most people have this in a healthy dose, which is maybe good that they want to be, accepted societally at least a little bit, right? Yeah. And some to the extreme.
Right.
They just have to keep everyone happy and it's pretty exhausting.
Right.
Okay, and then the last one, domain five, is negativity. Pessimism is in this where people like this, everything is filtered through this just glass half empty, world sucks lens.
Yeah.
And another one is emotional inhibition, just not safe to have feelings or share feelings. Unrelenting standards is another one. You have to maintain your specialness. There's lots of fun diagnoses that go with that. Mm-hmm. Punitive, and that is this. These are the ones you want to avoid because they're going to try to sue you.
Everything is your fault, or every problem that I have is caused by something you did and not my own self.
Yes. So everyone deserves to be punished, either you or yourself or others. And usually it's emotionally punitive. Okay, so that was long to get to the point. The point is, when you interact with the world, you get a rectangle or a triangle, right? Yeah. The rectangle is something that fits into your, whatever your schema slot. Is. So let's, your slot. So let's take T. So his first job is kind of the only experience he gave. All right, so his ex-military boss got on his case a lot.
Yeah.
So we have to just guess what happened there.
Telling him that he's not good enough and telling him that he's doing a bad job. And
is that a triangle or a...
Just assume.
That would be a rectangle.
Okay.
So you have this negative experience, and I can't even count how many people I have seen who come in with a first job or a second job when they're quite young, where they have a really crappy boss that just haunts them. I mean, it is amazing how strong this can be. And that's mainly because your job developmentally as a young person and, you know, those early years of getting work is to build competence, right? That's one of the things. You're discovering who you are, what you're good at, and developing an ability to do stuff, which makes you feel competent. Like, I can do stuff. And if you have a boss that's continually saying you can't, you know, that can have a pretty deep, leave a pretty deep wound for that space of life. So let's make up what his schema is. I'm going to assume it's, maybe it's that I'm a failure. That was the one I was sort of guessing. And any of the ones I said, do you think would fit with him? We don't have a ton of information about him, but.
No.
So, I mean, if he's, you know, doing the black belt, doing the martial arts, I don't think it's any of the dependence or vulnerability to illness or anything like that.
Right. And they can be
compensatory. But maybe the failure, right? Fear of failure kind of thing.
Failure might work because it's a pretty general one. So let's just stick with that one.
And especially if he brings up the boss that was ex-military that was really hard on him, then in a work situation, that kind of would be like a failure and also the dependency on, or the monetary.
Yes, being vulnerable that way, for sure.
Dependence or incompatible,
So you could have a couple things going on there. And, you know, we'd really need to just, like, go through his childhood to figure out if it started somewhere else and if there is, you know, more to it that would make sense. But let's just stick with I'm a failure. Notice that I'm a failure doesn't start, you know, kids don't think that when they're born. Like, I failed that birth process. That really didn't go very well.
It took me a long time to get my ABCs down.
Man, that 3-hour pushing was not, it was my fault, not my mom's fault. Yeah. So you develop these over time. And of course, the experiences you're interacting with in the world start to inform how you're making sense of the world, which is how you create your schema. So I'm assuming it's before this, but it is also interesting to note, ex-military supervisor, he goes into bodybuilding and martial arts. There's a power and a physicalness that is interesting compensation, maybe. Because maybe that's the thing. You think, okay, I'm gonna be strong. So maybe it's the I am weak, I am failure, I'm a failure, I'm not good enough, whatever that schema might be. And you do all these amazing things physically, but it doesn't fix the problem. And it's because it's not a physical problem. It's not a strength of muscle or will problem. It is an emotional thing. Okay. So he has this inner boss that the dude's rude or yells at him or minimizes his work and just is a jerk. You take that. That's a rectangle. The rectangle fits all nice and snug right into the I'm a failure or I'm not good enough schema, right? If you see the drawing, you can see that it fits, correct?
Yeah. Everyone? Yeah, okay. Totally fits. I mean, your rectangles are a little irregular, but it's fine.
We see that Pac-Man can open his mouth in different ways to chomp on the boxes.
Right. In this case, it doesn't change the shape of that rectangle because you have to fit it in there. And if it fits in nicely and easily, then you're like, yep, this thing is real. I am a failure.
Completes
right?
the thought that.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
And the experience in the world, like this is true. Mm-hmm. So if any of you have known a paranoid person or you cannot convince them otherwise than being paranoid, it's because this schema has been set and everything now that goes to be fed into their experience, they cram into that space and everything becomes a rectangle. So part of the power of this is the triangles. These are the magic thing. So the triangle, as you notice, does not fit in the square. I mean, in the rectangle. And that's something like, I've been in two bodybuilding shows. I can kill a man with my bare hands. I am successful in this relationship. Or these are
the positive things, the positive experiences that you've had. That
the stuff he's real good at.
Yeah, right.
He's like, and in his case, he's really good at some stuff, right? But these can also be neutral things, right? They can be somebody smiled at the grocery store. But here's the thing. Our brains are wired to want to see the stuff that will protect us. So what we do is we walk around always looking at these rectangles and trying to fit them into our schema and prove that we can't trust other people or prove that it's true, I'm a failure, or you know, no one likes me because that person didn't da 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 da. And then it reinforces. And you know what it's like to interact with someone who is convinced that their schema, the way they interact in the world, is real, right? Now, someone who's mentally healthy and is able to, like, they're still going to have some of this. This isn't like only if you're very, very sick. But you are, the ones who are very, very sick, it's very, very tight. Like, it's been really built up. But the key is letting those triangles have some power or sway in your experience. So, for example, if every day you're only seeing the rectangulars and trying to fit them, the rectangles, then you are going to be in trouble. So part of it is questioning the rectangles and checking in with the triangles. So often you need someone to do this with. There are schema-based therapists all over. You guys could probably find one if you were interested in doing this specifically. But most CBT therapists can also work with this. But it's really interesting to start to break apart the thoughts, the actions, the compensating behaviors, all the things that go into creating this. And they start to loosen up and you start to see that these triangles actually have value and meaning, and you can fit them into your worldview. And eventually you kind of bust apart the old Pac-Man's shape.
Yeah.
And you take each new experience with a little less its reality, and you sort of have to question where it fits and what you take in. I mean, have you ever had a day where somebody just does something, I mean, awful, and you can take it as, wow, very personally, that was about me and I'm a bad person, or I must have done something wrong, or you're able to sort of have space and go, oh, that guy's having a bad day and it's not about me. And you're somewhere in between maybe, but that's kind of the point, is we can take everything personally, anything that happens, make it negative and fit into our little picture, or we can back up a little bit. We can still have negative things happen, of course, or things that, you know, that person is untrustworthy, but the whole world isn't untrustworthy, just that person. So how do we break those apart? You kind of need a little help to do that.
So do you, so this kind of visualization seems really useful. Like it's the kind of thing that I like a lot. I like visualized stuff, and, you know, examples when given to me, even when I was a kid, I would always learn the most when they would be like a cool chart.
Drawn out.
Totally. Like, I could have like some kind of physical manifestation of the ideas at play. Does this, is this often come into play with what you have to do with people, even in issues that aren't related to this? Do you know what I mean? Like, visualization's a big thing. Yeah.
Well, there's so many, whatever percentage of the population are visual learners, like you two both are. And so you really can try to draw it out verbally and take a lot more time than if you just drew it out on a piece of paper or a board. My favorite is, I used to have these big boards in my office and I could just draw all day on but it really does help. So another example, I think we've talked about on the show, where you draw a bunch of consecutive circles that sort of overlap, and you write the sequence of events and to find out where your thinking sort of falls apart. Where it all went wrong. Because so often our experience, or when we're in our head, it's jumbled. It's like we just have an unreliable narrator in there half the time. So when we get it out and we can visualize it, or it's tactile, for some people it's very, you know, you need to be moving while you do it. Every once in a while I will do therapy sessions walking. And it's amazing how quickly someone who is more tactile or more physical can integrate the information better. It's just our learning styles.
Is that why I pace when I do phone calls? Because I pace when I do calls, probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Probably. Remember when I used to weed when we'd do the call?
Yeah, you'd go out and do the yard and stuff, yeah.
You do that all the time in Colorado.
Yeah. Do it. You remember when I used to do weed while we did the show?
Do you guys remember the weed days? Sweet. Anyway, so for tea, I think a little effort of down and sort of maybe Google the old Jeff Young and the schema therapy and find the schema that actually works, because we're guessing with a lot of this information, and sort of do a little work with it. There's figure out the event and what the core beliefs are and the old tapes. He referenced the old tapes. That's part of this as well. Like, what are the things he keeps saying to himself about this new event? So a new event comes on along. If he can say, hold on, is this a triangle or is this a rectangle? And if it's a rectangle, am I going to shove it in my schema? That sounds great. and then decide, I get to decide, is this valid versus is this just truth because it fits in this worldview? Yeah. So if I struggle to trust people, I am the easiest person in the world to rob because I do not have don't trust other people schema. I don't have it. I don't know why.
Right.
But you could have a gun and be like, give me your money, and be like, I'm so confused. What are you doing?
Yeah. Because
I trust you automatically. It's probably a bad thing, but I live in a small town, so I'm safe. But so I would have to have a few experiences where all of a sudden I'd be like, wait, maybe people are not trustworthy. But to distinguish, so here's where I'd get in trouble, is if I started to let those experiences, which are probably going to be traumatic, decide how I view everything.
Yep, you're back.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, you cut out for a sec, but you're back.
Oh.
You're
good. Yeah. But just that you have to sort of decide, hey, does this mean the whole world? Or is it this one event, one person? So I think T could go through his history and identify what have been the rectangles, what have been the triangles, and fits, what doesn't, and sort of where this is. Yeah. I mean, this is kind of higher level stuff, so doing it on your own may be a little tough, but I think, it's really worth looking at how he's processing these informations, because everyone does this. We filter information, we categorize it, we believe it or we don't. It kind of explains the whole, someone has a conspiracy theory and anything you say just makes it worse.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just gets, they dig deeper, double down. Part of that is depending on how their worldview has been established based on the things they have experienced and do. So, but this can change. That's the cool part about this is, but sometimes it's not as easy as just saying, I'm not going to take that rectangle today. But if your case is mild, it might be.
Yeah. Well, quit choking on rectangles, everybody, and start jamming those think of it this way, pizza-shaped triangles.
Right.
Yeah, that's all right. That sounds
real good. Maybe chips. That would be the real Pac-Man shape, and that would be the healthy circle we want you to feed or something. I don't know.
Ah, see, that's not bad. Yeah. That's the piece of the pie you're missing there to fill his mouth up. And also, Brian's right, Doritos. There you go, Doritos.
Doritos.
Or Dehotries, as who is Dehotries. Dehotries. Was it you? Was it you that said that, or Tara that said that?
It was me.
Okay, it was you. That's right, Tara.
Because we have a genetic disorder. Of course, it was me. Dehotries.
We can't say words right. So yeah, Wendy said Dehotries as we grew up. Ranch flavored Dehotries, always in the house. Well, that's good stuff. I'm sending you something here in a minute, so you can see what I've done to.
It's great.
To your
it's
art.
Quite the embellishment.
Yeah. I've embellished your art as you went and did it live on the air. So you had no idea I was doing that, but it was pretty fun. So I'll send that to you here in a second. Anything else you'd like people to be looking for? Anything on the blog coming up?
My kids start school Monday, which means next week I can say yes, there's something on the blog.
Yeah, school's
summer
coming back.
Summer is so long.
Yeah, same day the Nick goes back, so that'll be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be childless for a few minutes anyway.
Keep your eye on therapythursdays.com and there'll be something there. Of course, Wendy's on Instagram at Wendy Dunford. She showed a picture of some sort of alien sun that is not of this world.
That was so cool. I swear I just it's so beautiful. Took it. That's what it looked like.
That's so weird. That is so
weird.
And
there's a little green dot. Do you see that tiny green
dot? Yeah. What is that?
I wonder what it is.
What is that?
P.S. Dude, guess what I did today?
What?
I'm becoming like a regular Johnson slash old person, I got my eyes checked. I've never needed glasses. Wow. I've never had one eye problem.
See, I've always hated you for this. So now finally, can I have some justice in this world? And so Wendy can have a trouble with
I have
her
a
eyes.
Slight stigmatism, and he gave me, you know, whatever, and he put the little fake glasses on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot tell you, like, the world is such a different place. Oh, my God.
Do you think it was always bad and you just didn't know the difference?
No. It's really been, like, the last year. It's an old age thing, I think. Yeah. And I think it's the dark. Like, I struggle in the dark. Like, when you drive at night, and I think that's normal for that to develop. Like, I swear I see trolls on the side of the road. Anyone?
How about on the wing of a plane?
I trust everyone, but I see trolls on the side of the car. How weird.
And I'm assuming you've all seen them too. You're just not sharing, so I'm fine with
sure,
that.
Sure, sure.
Really. Yeah,
they just have accepted them as fact. And
no, this is, it
don't
is,
even bring them up.
It is normal.
Troll schema.
Everybody hits like late 30s, early 40s, you start to get eye-ish. You know, it's just normal. So you're fine. You're like, you're one of us now.
Sure.
Yeah.
The irony is, I probably have better eyes than you now after my surgeries, but that's a whole different.
Shut up. Yeah. I told the guy, I said, he's like, so, you know, are you okay with, you're going to get glasses? And I'm like, I've always wanted glasses. I've always wanted to look smart. He thought that was so funny. He's like, and he has glasses, of course. And he's like, well, you know, you had to live up to this. There's actually like meetings and things. I'm like, what? Like, I believed him. Wow. Like, you people with glasses are all smart and you have meetings.
Oh, yeah. We totally have meetings. My meeting's at zenni.com every couple of months where I get a new pair. Well, good luck with that. That sounds like fun. And our best, obviously, to the kids and Adam and everybody. Take it easy and we'll see you later.
Too.
Bye now.
Bye, guys.
All right. Ryan.
That was a good one.
Yeah, it was good. Some good in-depth stuff.
And I like your drawing embellishment.
Yeah, it was fun. I'm going to send this to her right now via text.
It reminds me, I have a question for you, but I'm going to ask it off the air.
Okay.
Because I don't know if it's a secret thing.
Oh.
You know, I'm going to send you a text, and then you can decide whether or not it's something.
Yeah, send it.
You.
I like this. This is real time, guys. Sit back and enjoy that. I like this. This is good. Well, while you're sending that, I'm going to tell the fine people at home that they can check us out later today at 3 o'clock p.m. Mountain Time for TMS PM. Why do we have an extra show on Thursdays? Because you support us at patreon.com/TMS. And if you don't, you should consider it. There's rad stuff happening there. Patreon.com/TMS. Get great stuff in the mail and support the show you love for very little a month. Mm-hmm. Patreon.com/TMS.
And if we
TMS.
Reach our next stretch goal, we will do a live audio track of Star Wars. Not the whole thing, but just, you know, like.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, you don't? Really?
I don't, but maybe I'm subconsciously doing
this. I was thinking it was like a kind of a graining thing.
Let's see.
Oh, look my at gosh. You little dude there. You're,
I totally do.
Yeah.
That is not on purpose.
Okay.
I just do that.
That's totally cool. Can we tell people what my
yeah,
guess
Brian,
was?
So Brian's got, he was thinking, because here, chat room, you can look at it again. I'll bring it up. There you go. Whoops. The ears, when I do an ear, Brian thought maybe I sneak my SJ, like my initials, in the way that I construct ears, because my ears are often just like this ear here.
Mm-hmm.
But the answer is no, not on purpose, but there is kind of an SJ in there.
There's kind of an SJ. I always thought it was like a little homage to Matt Groening, because that was his deal. Like, he'd put an M on the top of Homer's head and a G in the ear of Homer.
And who was the guy, the artist who was like from The New Yorker?
Oh, yeah.
What was his
Who'd
name? Who'd
always hide Nina's. It was Hirschfeld.
It was his daughter Nina, right?
Yes. Yeah. Always hid his daughter's name. And there would be a number next to his signature at the bottom that would tell you how many times he hid the word Nina in his art.
Yeah, that's awesome. I used to love that. I used to look
too,
for those.
It's such a game.
Yeah. Well, now I wish I had been doing this, or I had lied to you and said, yes, I put SJs in my ears. I'm not
right,
that
if we
creative.
7,250 on our Patreon.
Yeah.
We will, I say we do the film set, guys, and we basically have one of us is Luke, one of us is Han, one of us is...
Dude, I would love it.
Kenobi, and one of us is 3PO.
Yeah.
And we... To the best of our ability, try and recollect. We got to get Tom in there too, though.
Yeah, we got to get some scenes. We could totally get Tom in there, but we'll cut out some scenes that make the most dialogue sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, we'll do it.
You can do Nicole can be Leia, or Veronica can be Leia.
Yeah, I'd love it.
All right.
I'd love it. You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of that thing they had at BlizzCon in 2011. Were you there that year? I think you were.
I've been to BlizzCon. I'm sorry. I was thinking Nerdtacular. BlizzCon 2011. Maybe.
Maybe. But they had the thing where you'd go into the booth and you'd do voice work for the.
Yeah, I totally was there for that.
Okay. I couldn't remember. That was a hoot. Mm-hmm. And I still have that video somewhere, but Veronica played. she played Jaina. I was Thrall or something. Or no, maybe Tom was Thrall. Somebody else was Varian. It was really fun.
That's really cool.
They should do that now with
that was the year that Randy was giving us all collector cards with the StarCraft, the Korean StarCraft players. Like collect all the Korean StarCraft.
Oh yeah, they had collectible cards. That's right. They don't do that anymore, I don't think.
No, now they get those enamel pins that are just gorgeous. Yeah. But I saw the loot bag for BlizzCon and I did not see a set of pins in there.
I didn't either.
You just have to buy them separately.
Yeah, I think you're right. Who knows? They do that stuff different every year. So yeah, who knows?
It's true.
Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. Frogpants, I already said that. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. You can leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462 and follow us on Twitter. Brian's at Coverville. I'm at Scott Johnson and the show is at Morning Stream. That twill do it until 3 o'clock p.m. today. If you listen to the show later, you'll get it tomorrow. What else? That's it. Brian, we're done.
Okay.
Let's do some, you got music?
I have one thing I could probably do. Okay. I could probably do a song.
Okay.
If we have time. I mean, if everyone's okay with it.
I'm okay. I think I'm right. Hey, let's vote. Ready? Go. Okay, we both say yes.
Oh, yeah, it's unanimous. Right. Derek from Canada wrote in and said, "The Tragically Hip is a huge Canadian band that isn't known very much outside of Canada. I've probably learned more about our history through their songs than I have through school. The lead singer, Gord Downie, was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer and even so is doing a farewell tour across the country. Jeez. August 20th is the date of their last show in their hometown of Kingston, Ontario. Please play any covers of The Hip because they are truly a Canadian treasure. New Orleans is sinking, though, Derek, in Canada."
Yeah, it is sinking.
It is sinking.
Yeah.
It took a turn there at the very end. That was a weird turn, man. Yeah. Anyway.
Also, the guy in... who's the guy that always on Twitter is giving us crap for having sad?
Oh, Pedersen.
Pedersen. I'm just one member to say that every time we have a...
every time we go... A moment happy, of seriousness. Happy, 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 sad.
Yeah.
Poop joke, poop joke, poop joke.
Serious thing. Poop, poop, poop joke, poop joke.
Farmers. We love you, Peterson.
Yeah, we do.
Peterson,
Rob, whatever.
Bob.
All
right, a cover of The Hip. Sure, this is cool. This came out on a CD back in 2005 by the band Tonamel, or Tonamel, T-O-N-A-M-E-L. I'm sure it's some Canadian thing. I don't know. This is the song, The Darkest One, originally done by Tragically Hip. I really, really like this, and I think this sounds so cool. Tonamel and The Darkest One.
All right, we'll see you guys later today, and then back on Monday. Bye now.
come in, come in, come in. From thin and wicked prairie winds, come in. It's warm and it's safe here, and almost hearkening. Here in a time and place not lost on our imagination, where you don't explain, but you still do. And you can complain if you want to complain, where you're real instrumental, or supple and sexy as hell, where you say I believe, or say without shame I can tell, where the wild are strong, and the strong are the darkest ones, and you're the darkest one, you're the darkest one.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com. That's an actual dog.
That was a real dog?
That was a real dog.
Oh, that's... goodbye.